disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I always love it when Monday morning comes rolling around because the 2 days off that I had Saturday and Sunday, I just sit around and stew. God bless my wife. I don't know how she puts up with me. We had a little 1-year-old birthday party for our little granddaughter Annie yesterday, and that's always a little bit of a pressure relief being around family. Love doing that, but man, oh man, oh man. As I told somebody, I spend too much time with me. I need to let my hair down a little bit sometimes. A lot of stuff, man. And again, thinking about where we are, and I haven't shaved for about 5 days. I better hack that thing down. Where we are in life and what our role is here as Christians. And, you know, I spent some time yesterday watching some videos that people had sent me and studying some other stuff. And I always come back to the same thing. I don't know how to get away from it. And that is, why is the church so ineffective? Why are we so ineffective? Wait a minute, Larry, I know before you say that it's that satanic social club is not really the church. I understand that. I understand that the Bible says that all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. And Jesus says, take that power and go. And we don't really know what that means. We've got such a confusion as an identity crisis about who we are, and what Christianity is, and what Christianity is supposed to be about. And I spent some time this weekend again being around some lives that are just, man, they're just upside down. People are living upside down lives. And not only are they living upside down lives, they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And I often say, you know, listen, I used to think like you. That's my greatest argument against I don't even like the term liberal, against God haters. That's the greatest argument against him. I said, listen, hang on, stop here a second. I used to think like you. That's what I say to the God haters. Relax here. This is all good. I used to think like you. And it wasn't until I received the Holy Spirit, I get where you're coming from. Do you get where I'm coming from? Have you ever had a relationship with Christ and relationship with the Holy Spirit that makes all things new to you? Have you ever lived like that? Well, folks, if there is only one truth, we know that the scripture tells us that if you know that one truth, that the truth, if you know, it's going to set you free. And I look everywhere I think, people think that people have licentiousness. They think it's liberty. People have freedom to go sin however they want to, and they think it's liberty. They think that's freedom. They have no understanding. And I was yakking a little bit before the show started here today, even about holy smoke, how much they've got us, how much the world, the government, I hate to use that term, how much the government, how much the system, how much the matrix, how much whatever, has got us totally and completely in bondage. We are in bondage. What would you do with your life if money was not an issue? If you didn't have to get up every day and go earn a living, by the way, about 60% of which goes to government. 60% of your money goes to government. So, oh, Coach, you can't be that much. Really? Well, sit down and start figuring it out. And why is it that those of us who are just living normal lives are in such complete and total bondage to working, so 60% of it goes to government. The things that we don't even believe in. The things that, do you want to be in Afghanistan? Is anybody here? What we've been there, 20 years? Anybody want to be in Afghanistan? How are we in Afghanistan? Right? Anybody want that? Anybody want to pay? Really? Isn't there a better way we can do our public school thing? bondage, see, the enemy has got us in bondage. Jared, throw the schedule up there. I got some good stuff to share with you today. If you can, some of us are heading down to be with Alan Hoyle this on Wednesday. If you are in the Ohio area and you would like to go with us, we're going to drive down. We're going to leave on Thursday. If you'd like to be part of it, get a hold of me or Mike Blake, Jeff Klein. I'm giving you a lot of choices. I hate to do that. Get a hold of me if you'd like to go. We're going to leave. We're going to leave on Tuesday evening, and we'll be back Wednesday evening. It calls one overnight stay down there, and we're going to stand with Alan Hoyle and his pushback against the courts, sodomy. Alan says sodomy. I say the courts. I say the system in general. And so, excuse me, if you want to go, let us know. And then, of course, the 20th, I want to talk a little bit about this, excuse me, about the rally in Richmond. Got some things we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and some current concerns I have, and hear from some of you guys as well. Next week, the 29th, I'm going to be in Maine up there with Bob Roy and Jack and the crew, David Arthur and I. 29th, March 5th, here at the Watchman Conference. Boy, doesn't look like we have anything in February. Believe me, we got some stuff coming up in February. All the stuff is there. Now, listen, we are doing, again, our conference here in Akron, Canton, Ohio. I'm going to say all hands on deck. Occupy till I come. We got a list of speakers. We're adding stuff to it daily. Put that on your schedule. Come and join us. It's a great time for fellowship. Bill Federer, Michael Lake's a new one. Some of you haven't heard Michael Lake. Usama Dakdok. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. And you get if you join we haven't really talked enough about, our $10 a month forum, you get a discount for coming to this thing. Freeze right there, Jared. You're making me dizzy a minute. Let's go to the speakers. Usama, talk about Islam. Slide down. There you go, buddy. Dr. Michael Lake, he's good. Spalding, Dizda. We've cut down on the number of speakers so they can have more time and we can stay more focused. So put that on your calendar. You guys can go to coachdavelive.com/events and all that stuff's there for you. Cool. Anybody have anything to add in there? Chad, anything going on down your way? I don't even look to see if Chad was in here this morning. Anybody got anything? We're working on a lot of stuff, folks. We've got a lot of irons in the fire. Just trust me. A lot of irons on the fire. Yeah, Rob Pugh, I said, Rob's having an event up there as well. That's in March, I think. Oh, man, a lot going on. Anybody? No? I'm going to show you a video. I'll show you a video. Because something's going on that's really kind of going on under the radar. Most of you, we don't get it. We don't get it, folks. One of the greatest, say whatever you want to with it, one of the greatest institutions in the world, I'll say that with, I'll put quotations around it, greatest institutions in the world, the monarchy in England is under assault. Really, some of you don't get it. You think it's just about Meghan and Prince Harry. No, folks. This is deeper than we even understand. Somebody basically trying to abdicate the throne, which I guess you're allowed to do. But this is a deeply embedded attack upon the monarchy. Now, I'm not a big fan of the monarchy. I'm not a big fan of the queen and the king and the prince. And I'm not a big fan of all that. However, deep traditions are embedded there, traditions. And many of you know, or some of you don't know, of the idea of cultural Marxism being the idea of destroying from within. Infiltrate and destroy from within. And it's happened in every area. Look at America. America has been infiltrated and destroyed from within. Let's look at the church. Let's just focus on the church for a second. Has the church been infiltrated and destroyed from within? Absolutely. Cultural Marxism, they call that. Now, the acceptance of homosexuality is normal, right? Right? What about our educational system? Has our educational system been infiltrated and destroyed from within? Yeah, it is. What do they call that? Well, they call that cultural Marxism. What about the movies? Have the movies been infiltrated and destroyed from within? We used to go see pleasant sound of music and really pleasant, good family entertainment. Is there such a thing anymore? As they try to have gun control, have you noticed how many movies you see advertised are about guns, shooting each other and killing and cultural Marxism? What, has the family been infiltrated and destroyed from within? Well, that's happened through cultural Marxism. What's that mean? Well, destroying destroying societies and the culture from within by infiltration. You can go on and on and on. Government. What do you think the deep state is, other than cultural Marxism? What do you think racism is, other than cultural Marxism? What do you think identity politics is, when we went from being Christians to being a black Christian or a Lutheran Christian or a Muslim Christian, or throw whatever modifier you want to in there? It's been cultural Marxism. I came across this video today because I want to talk just a little bit about a couple things I think are important here. It's very short. This is a very short. See, the battle in cultural Marxism, folks, this involves every aspect of our lives, all right? The battle is between the traditional, all right, and the between the traditional and the new world, right? JR used to be the family. Now, the family is about anything you want to make it. It used to be the Bible. Now it's many gods. The cultural Marxism is everywhere. The destruction of all things true, okay? So I came across this. My wife and I were sitting around the other day, and I was listening to some old 60s and 70s music. I could start right now singing some songs. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. And every one of you would know the song. They were tradition. They were, oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand. And music was culture, right? The Beatles came in, they turned everything upside down. Can somebody sing a modern, can you think of a song that's been produced recently that will be ageless and timeless? When I went to my buddy Norm Emmett's son's wedding, the band played 60s and 70s music, and everybody in there, the millennials, all the young people, all the people under 40, they all knew the words to all of those old songs. They're traditions, right? No more. So I came across this video, and it's got some racy pictures in there, so you may want to guard your eyes, if you will, right? But here it is, what they've done to us, tradition and cultural Marxism, right before our very eyes. Go ahead and play that, Jared. German Eiffel. Tradition. Poker.
Thank you. say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Okay, so I'm with this little bit of an introduction, and I don't want to get camped here the whole time because I think it's important that we understand this. What is going on with Harry and Meghan and the monarchy? What's at the very root of that? Somebody come on and see if you can help us out here. It's important we understand this, folks. Nobody? Nobody knows? Nobody understands? Nobody sees the importance of what's going on? What is Harry rejecting? And why is Harry rejecting it? And what is Harry rejecting the monarchy for? Or is it to the point where you really haven't studied that much? You don't know what's going on? What is going on in the monarchy? Somebody help me out. Cultural Marxism at work.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
They just want to be Americans.
Well, they do just want to be Americans, right?
Yeah.
But what's at the heart of it, folks? Because this is really this has impacted our entire culture. See, Harry wants to reject the pomp and circumstance of the stuffy, I don't even know their last name. They may know their last name of the kingdom. He wants to reject all that stuffiness for what? Self-actualization. Getting the opportunity to be him. And he brings in this woman, marries into the crown. What's special about the crown? Does anybody know? What is going on with? What's the bloodline of the crown? Do you understand that the bloodline of the crown has been poisoned? Somebody help me out here. How's the bloodline of the crown been poisoned? I feel like I'm serving up a dud today. Nobody's getting what's going on. How's the bloodline of the crown being poisoned?
Well, they've allowed other people or that were considered commoners to be married into the family.
What's worse than that? It's worse than that. What is there something special about this commoner who's married into the royalty? What is it about this commoner that's the trump card that's being played, folks, and you're not
seeing
it.
She's black.
She's half black. Meghan Markle is half black.
Which is funny. Now, tried to go ahead. Play that down when she's been an actress.
Well, they're playing it down now. They've been playing it down up to this point, but they're not going to play it down beyond this point because why, when Meghan Markle and Harry abdicate to whatever, when they step back from it, what is going to be at the heart of why she did it? What are they going to say? Come on, wake up here. What are they going to say?
They're threatening to be assassinated, Coach. They're going to
bring
the Princess Diana nonsense.
They're going to get Diana, but that's certainly a possibility. What's going to be the reason Meghan Markle is going to say that she had to abdicate the throne? Come on.
They mean
racism.
Racism. She never felt comfortable. She felt like she was below everybody else. So she has to go to Hollywood and go to you know, I read this the other day. I couldn't believe it. Do you know who her spiritual advisor is? I'm not making it up. Meghan Markle's spiritual advisor is Elton John. Elton John. And Elton John, they said, plays the mother role with Meghan. I'm not making it up. Now there's something bigger going on in this whole messy. It's about the idea, tradition is not good. Tradition, not good. And so Harry and Meghan are going to go to Hollywood for their self-accusation and make their own. Maybe I'm ahead of you guys on this one.
Hey, Coach, you smell a psyop? That's what I smell, Coach.
A psyop? Maybe a psyop to some degree. Does it have anything to do with Andrew and this mess that he's caught up in Hollywood? I don't know. Okay, I'll switch gears. See, folks, it's all about divide and conquer. Everything we see is about divide and conquer. And what's happened to us in the American society is we've gone from tradition, Harry being born into royalty, into tradition, now saying to the world, what I want to do is more important than my duty to those who came before me. That's what's happening here, see. That's what's happening. Harry says, I don't want to be this anymore. I want to be this. And it's where most of the American society, American culture is. Why are your children no longer loyal to their faith? Why are they not? Because it's about them living the life that they want to live. And it's because nothing is sacred anymore. When someone is born into a family today, parents, me included, we go out of our way to spoil our children, and we make their life about them, not about their obligation to where they have come from. Harry was, for whatever reason, was born into this royal family, and we can say what we want to about this royal family. He's been born into this royal family that goes back hundreds, thousands of years, and feels no duty or responsibility to uphold that standard. Oh my goodness, folks. It's a microcosm of where we are and what's going on in America. Look at what's going on in our public schools. If it feels good, do it, right? The destruction of all tradition in front of us. Look what they've done to marriage. Look what they've done with the gay agenda. Just look at what's going on. Now, the question, I'm going to try to bring all this back together, is at what point do we wake up and understand our Christian tradition and our responsibility to live out the faith of our forefathers? Because Harry is just a little bit behind the church. That's all it is. He's just a little bit behind it. And where are we? What does Christianity even mean to the average person that goes to church on Sunday? I'm going to ask that question again. I want to hear some responses. What does Christianity even mean to the average person who goes to church on Sunday? Come on in. Somebody tell me. I want to know.
Well, Coach, this, you know, the devotion we'll get to later on will address this issue. But, you know, the church is dead. You know, they're too busy passing the plate. People are too busy serving the devil in culture. And like you said earlier, they don't know who they are in Christ.
How's that happen, Robert? How has that happened? And are we, those of us here in the queue, are we spinning our wheels? Are we wasting our time? Or is it just that we don't yet understand how the game has been played? At what point do we rise up and say no to a lot of this stuff that's going around us? Because if we don't rise up, if those of us who are awakened now don't rise up and begin to push back, where will we be? I hear somebody coming in. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The church has been suborned, and all they offer is comfort now. They don't offer anything beyond comfort.
How's that happen, Vinny?
Well, one thing is Secret Judaism Known, how it was a one-way street. Remember, Secret Judaism Known is the Jews not to harm society, but no one's supposed to harm the Jew. So we're not harming the Jew, but they harm society.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do about that? How do those of us in the queue, how do we ignite a cultural spiritual, because I believe they're connected, a cultural spiritual awakening right where we are, or better yet, right where you are, right where you live? What are some steps that we need to actively take to begin to awaken the, what did they say in Notre Dame? Wake up the echoes. What do we need to do to wake up the echoes with those that we have influence around, those that we have influence over?
Hey, Coach, I got one.
No.
Trump issued an executive order protecting Jews. How about he issue an executive order rescinding all dual citizenships in government?
Say that again. You say he did that, or we should do that?
We should do that.
Why don't we, folks? Why are we totally and completely, dare I say it, subservient to our elected officials in Washington, D.C.? What's the problem? Why are so many things going against the Christian? I'd hate to even use that term. What's going on? And why do we appear to be so powerless? Does anybody have a perspective on this other than me? I get up every day. I just cannot believe the stuff that they continue to just bring down. And we, the average person with a church has no concept, no understanding at all of what's going on around them. Yeah, Jared.
I just wanted to, there was that, you remember that Army commercial, Army of One, right? I mean, mm-hmm. The devil's so good at what he does. And it's pride and selfishness. We have no tradition. You're saying it. Self-actualization. We've sacrificed. There's a scene in Lion King, the cartoon, where the kid, he's going through all of his struggles, the little lion. And then the father comes through the clouds, who's dead, and he says, "Remember who you are. You are my son. And he was the king. And you have an obligation." You know, like that's... Remember who, and so it's that remembering the time and our obligation to our forefathers, like you said.
So Harry is rejecting that Lion King, isn't he? Harry birthed into this. Hey, I hate to tell you this. None of us choose where we were born. None of us choose who our parents were, and some of us are born into circumstances.
Hey,
that have great benefits of being birthed into that circumstances, but with it comes an accountability and a responsibility. And what we're seeing right now is Harry wants the benefits of the crown without the restrictions of it. That's where most Christians are living our lives. Come on in, somebody.
Hey, Coach, I came in kind of a little bit late, but I think part of it is I think Harry has seen the corruption. And the, you know, his mom was Princess Diana. He saw all the right. stuff that happened to her.
Probably probably knows some stuff about what happened that we don't know.
Yeah. And how you relate that to the church is a lot of the millennials and people of the younger generation have seen the same thing in the church. And they say, "I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm going to do my own thing."
Uh-huh.
And
so,
I'm going to do something. You know?
So Harry is a reflection of the culture. Is that what you're saying, Paul? Rebellion. He's seen the inside working of the family. He knows what they did to his mom. He knows how phony it is. He says, "I don't want to have any part of that," and he's stepping away from it.
Yeah, and I also too think I think he sees what's happening to his wife, what happened to his mom. Same thing. And I think a lot of it is just he's very jaded. And I think that's if you relate that to today's church, a lot of us are a lot of the younger generation are jaded because they've seen.
Amen.
All that happened in the church. So I think that's what it is. A lot of it is.
Is he controlled by his wife? Is that part of it? Is it she doesn't want to have any part of it?
It's possible, yeah. It's possible. Very possible, yeah.
Nothing happens in a vacuum, folks. Nothing happens in a vacuum. How is the crown going to respond to Harry giving up the crown for Hollywood? That's what's going on. That's the trade that's going on. He's giving up the crown for Hollywood because they're going to go to Hollywood and Oprah. They'll be on with Oprah and they'll be on with Dr. Phil. No, they'll be everywhere. And she'll be a star and he's just, boy, oh boy, oh boy. And it's what we see happening to the crown, just a reflection of what's happened every place else, what's happened to the church. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm connected this morning. Rarely feel that way.
Coach?
Yeah.
You know, a little bit back, you asked, what can we do in our neighborhood, in our oikos, to change things or to affect things? And all we have to do is we don't have to take the Bible and the five letters J-E-S-U-S and beat people over the head with them. All we have to do is to stand for biblical principles, and the gates will open, the doors and windows will open for opportunities for people to come and ask, how did you manage to stand against the program, the system like that? How did you, like Alan Hoyle. Now, he's also using the Bible in the name of Jesus, but he's taking a stand for what is right. And he's getting beat up for that.
Here's what I think. There's a conflict going on between the moral world and the modern world. And the problem, I'm going to say it again, between the moral world and the modern world. Because the church has become so worldly and the world has become so churchy, it's hard for us to distinguish amongst it. So the battle we see is against morality and modernity. That's the battle that is being waged right before. See, liberalism, don't ever forget this. Liberalism denies everything sacred. The family, the church, community, nation. Liberalism is against all of that stuff. If it feels good, do it. And what is their new classification? See, it's no longer family. It's no longer country. It's no longer community. It's none of that anymore. It's no longer tradition. Now it is what? We're being classified by something different. What are we being classified? Race, gender, sexual behavior. See, that we're constantly going to be in groups. The question we have to ask ourselves is, which group is it that we're going to be in? And the battle that we see is the destruction of all traditional subgroupings. That's it.
Hey, so Coach, I'm gonna take it a little bit different direction. I think all of these groups that are not Jesus, They're trying to unite in this belief, and that is individualism. Mm-hmm. All of these enemy groups want you to be whatever you want to be. In other words, they don't even care if you disagree. California's got 30 LGBT acronyms. New York's only got 20. So who's going to start that battle? The point is we're little g gods now. That's what these satanic groups are making us do, is worship self, what's good for me, self-help, self.
You can be like God, right? You can be like God.
You are a God. Who's to tell you what to do? Who's to offend you? Don't let anyone say that you're doing wrong. There is no moral battle, in other words. There are no morals.
But they're supposed to, isn't it? They're supposed to be. Yeah, Jeff.
That's what we talked about last week. I mentioned that last week a little bit, to where the world's crept in the church. So the people have quit following Christ and just become religious. And then Pastor Bill used this analogy that if you are following Christ and you're of the Holy Spirit, then you stand up in the world today, you've got the two groups against you, is the religious and the natural. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at him and said, it's almost impossible, isn't it? You got these two major groups against you, the religious and the natural. But Alan Hoyle's facing now.
Right. Well, we're all facing it. We're all facing it every day. And it's what I said the other day. Christianity, Christ has been reduced to nothing more than just another God. Just another way.
This battle, when you play it out this way, think about the archers. There's commands you give archers. You fire and you give them a specific target, and then you say, fire at will. Okay, so even though united, the LGBT movement's united, they want all of their people to fire at will.
And they are.
They don't want them, and what that is chaos. Because if you have individual suicide bombers that are out there in the crowd doing whatever they choose, not given a target, that's chaos.
Mm.
You know, but if it's controlled and they go, you know, you get a unit, you go after a building, it's controlled. So once again, Satan is about chaos and confusion,
that's
sending
right.
us all out to create more chaos.
That's right. Hey, Jared, pull up Galatians 5. Are you guys, is anybody picking up what I'm laying down out there today? Maybe I haven't made it clear.
Yes, you have, Coach.
Go ahead.
I'm seeing it in my church, the cultural Marxism, and you bringing the royal family into this has really made it very clear to me. So I'm really relating to what you're putting down, and I've been bringing it to the attention of my pastor also, and it's a good message you're putting down.
Okay, understand this, right, folks? The royal family, come on now. The royal family is the seat of Christianity.
Yes.
The very heart of Christianity. Now, I couldn't care less about the royalty. I couldn't care less about anything. But we cannot deny the impact that the royal family has had on the WASPy culture, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture, is a result of what's happened within the crown. And the crown has now, for the first time, been infiltrated with bloodline out. Oh my goodness, that sounds racist, doesn't it? Huh? But folks, come on now. Don't miss what's going on. And so this infiltrator comes in, claiming, proud of her infiltration, proud of her multiculturalism. And what is that demon doing? Destroying and upsetting everything, every tradition in that royal family. It's just an outward expression of exactly what's been happening inside the church. They're now zeroing in on the heart of white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism. Not they, but that spirit, the kings of this world, whatever, they're zeroing in. Folks, this could have unbelievable consequences for the crown. Oh, I'm in Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Hang on. Jared, go to Webster. Sorry, man. Because that's a word that we certainly don't understand, liberty. As for me, give me liberty or give me death. What is liberty? Freedom from restraint in a general sense and applicable to the body or to the will or the mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The will of mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. Natural liberty can... exists in the power outside the laws of nature. Civil liberty is the liberty of men in a state of society, or natural liberty, so far only abridged and restrained as is necessary and expedient for safety and interest of the society, state, or nation. The liberty of one depends not so much on the removal of all restraints from him as on the due restraint upon the liberty of others. In other words, the homosexual LGBTQ group have come in and what? They have robbed the liberty of conscience from the rest of us. Liberty is the right to do what is right. It is never the right to do what is wrong. That's why we have laws. That's why we have sins. Because unchecked liberty, or liberty without a foundation, leads to what? Licentiousness. And licentiousness is nothing more than unrestrained liberty. That's all licentiousness is. Doing whatever you want to do. Try that, Jared. Look up licentiousness. What is that? L-I-C-E-N-T-I-T-I-U-U-S. There you go. Licentious. Licentiousness. What is that? Excessive indulgence of liberty. Isn't that what we're seeing in America? Excessive indulgence of liberty. Contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum. Licentiousness of authors is justly condemned. The licentiousness of the press is punishable by law. It used to be punishable by law. Law is the god of wise men. Licentiousness is the god of fools. Now see, we have traded liberty for licentiousness. Back to Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, not licentiousness, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul, before I, Paul, saying to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Paul is saying, listen, if you are living only by the law, you're not free. You're not free. Why are you not free? Especially not free because man-made law is not always just. Man-made law is at the whim and control of people and opinions and circumstances. So Paul's saying, listen, you want to come under Christ where all liberty is just. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, because you are fallen from grace. If you are living by the law for the sake of the, act like Christians. For in Christ Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well, Paul, he says, but who did hinder you? Who hindered you on that path of truth? Who hindered America on that path towards truth that we were on? Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? What truth? Men can't marry. Marriage is a sacred union between a man and a woman. Who has hindered you that you no longer obey that truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Bible says, foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Where is that? That's in Galatians 2. Galatians 3, Jared, go back one verse. Chapter. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Jared, what's bewitched mean? Bewitched, 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 bewitched. Fascinated or charmed. Who has fascinated or charmed you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. We're not obeying the truth. We have turned from the truth. We are rejecting all truthful tradition.
Dave?
Yeah.
This takes me back to Matthew 24, 14 to, from 4 to 14, verses 4 to 14. He talks about their hearts wax cold and to be not be deceived. And to keep from all this happening goes back to what we talked about last week about having our mind transformed and renewed, you know.
So let me double back here again. Let's go back to that video on cultural Marxism. Let's go back to what we were talking about last week about the battleground of the mind and controlling our thoughts and taking captive every thought and renewing our mind. And to look around us at the culture and the society and ask yourself this, is the church the salt of the world or is the world the salt of the church? Well, who hath bewitched us? What do we do about it? What do we do about it? Because as J.R. would say that without the family, there is nothing to build upon. Well, what are we doing? Are we rebuilding the walls? Are we restoring the paths to dwell on? And how do we do that? Yeah, Rog.
Well, I was going to say I might look at it a little differently this morning. I think in the book of Judges, and I think you and I have talked about it, of Jephthah in the book of Judges, chapter 11. The people eventually came to him and said, save us. We need you to fight for us. They kicked him out.
Right.
He wasn't the proper bloodline. He wasn't the proper son. They kicked him out. He kept on preparing, gathered some men with him, went out in the wilderness. But eventually things got so dangerous and so bad, they came to him to restore Israel. And I'm not saying we should be laying low doing nothing, But I think very easily there'll be a time when people may come to the Christian faith, may come to the Christian community and say, save us.
I believe that too, Roger. I do. But do we wait till that moment? Let me.
No, I'm not articulating to wait. But as we are trying to attack culture, as we are trying to infiltrate culture, we are preparing ourselves also for a time when they may come and say, save us.
Mm-hmm. And well, we certainly have to be prepared for that time, don't we? We have to be prepared for it.
Yeah. Roger, that's a good word. That follows military strategy. And we always need to be mindful of God's timeline. I remember Coach telling us, why didn't they go after Hillary with all this evidence? And Coach described, it's like pickup sticks. You don't want to pull the stick that causes a whole pile to fall, and they're working through the game, right? So I think it's all timing, and we want stuff to happen right now, Coach. And we want the church to move, but there's also God's timeline. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Hey, Coach?
Yeah, Larry?
I'd like to take a couple of minutes and just to share a personal experience that kind of fits into this scenario here. When I was in jail waiting for that trial that never happened, there was one guy in the cell block that was in there for molesting young boys. And he made my skin crawl. I mean, I'm glad he was in almost the furthest bunk away from me. And because I never had to get close to him. And yet he would come at mealtime or whenever, he would come up and he would reach out and touch me to talk to me. And I asked him not to. I said, please don't touch me. I said, I don't like it. And he just kept doing it. I don't know what his motivation was or what. It doesn't matter, but he just kept doing it. And it just flipped a switch on me at one point. And I attacked him, threw him down on the concrete floor, and started beating his head into the floor. And the other guys jumped on me and made me stop and got me off. The guards took me in solitary confinement. And up until that point, you know, I had been a couple of months in that cell block. Most of the guys in there had been in there weeks, if not a month or more with me. Because of the cycling of the court system and everything, it was really slow right before Christmas. But I was in that solitary confinement. I did get to take my Bible with me. And I wasn't upset about it or anything. I was upset about what I had tried, you know, what I'd almost, I could have killed that guy, I guess, if I didn't hit his head a couple of more times on the concrete floor. But anyway, what was going on back in the cell block that they had just removed me from to put me in solitary confinement, things just were going in chaos. And it was less than 8 hours in solitary before the jailers came and got me out. And they said, they all want you back, including the guy whose head I beat on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Christ that was in me was the only calming, sane factor in that cell block.
Yeah, it's Christ or chaos, right, Larry? Christ or chaos. That's really where we are.
Larry, what your picture just showed, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes God changes the guard, Coach, and when it happens, there's a vacuum. And what's going to happen is, who's going to fill that spot? Is it going to be the God and his kingdom, or is it going to be Satan and his kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be so sure, and I wouldn't assume, Coach, that this changing of the monarchy may fall, Coach. This may be a time when it says, God says, it's over. We're going to do something different. Or we could look at it from, that's looking at it from his point of view. If we look at it from the evil point of view, it's like, we're taking this for us. How do we know yet? We don't, Coach. We need to participate and see what God is doing. Let's look at it from his perspective, and we need to be with that before we make too many judgments. I think we should be on his side, because it's easy to be on the wrong side on this issue, Coach.
Well, see, here's the thing, Randy, that was coming to me as you were talking right there. What if Harry's a hero? what if Harry's a hero and we don't really understand? Has the Church of England, which is certainly what the crown represents, has the Church of England fallen from truth? Nothing hidden that will not be revealed? So again, we get ourselves in trouble when we try to figure out or manipulate God and try to figure out what God is doing. But this spirit that of destroying everything, every tradition, certainly is at work in some area in this thing.
Coach. One more thing on this, Coach. We respect tradition. I respect my father. I respect the fathers that brought our world this far, and that's as far as they could bring it, Coach. That's the all the truth they had. God brings us to a point with whatever's there available, and then he puts it in people to move on. So here's what I'd say, Coach. We respect tradition, but we have a passion for truth. We have to come to a point and say, thank you, forefathers, for what you did, but God is opening a new door, and we're going to move into a deeper walk with him. And we can't stay in tradition because it can't deliver what's coming.
That's what I said, Randy. Maybe what Harry is doing needs to be done, right? But it is certainly that same spirit of, appears to be that same spirit of
fear.
Fear?
Yeah, can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, sure can.
Hi, my name's Wes. I want to take the conversation back to what you were saying earlier about why can't Christians, or why can't we as this remnant get anywhere in this country? It's the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is upon this country and upon Christians. Mm-hmm. Fear of, you know, getting arrested for standing up for the name of Jesus, fear of being ridiculed in public, fear of losing their job and their livelihoods. And right now, I just want to say, I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 We have to overcome that thing. That's for sure. And so that's why at the beginning of, God, I only got 7 minutes left. What can we actively begin to do? Let me throw this out here real quick. Right or wrong, good or bad, whether you all agree or not agree, this right here is a pretty good place to throw the red meat on the table and chew it over and come to some resolution about where we're at. How many of you watching the show have had your eyes open to something that you never thought about before? You've been red-pilled in a sense. And
amen.
Having to do with hanging out in the hangout, right? Hanging out in the hangout. So what if we – see, guys, until we awaken more, we have to actively get ourselves engaged in awakening more. I hearken back to a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I talked about building your downline. How many are you, me, all of us actively bringing into the fold? Can you think of three men that you come in contact with that might be influenced by hanging around with this crew? Three people right where you fellowship or right where you hang around. Say, don't talk about being Coach Dave, about Coach Dave and Coach Dave Live. Talk about the discussion of all these different issues that are brought to the table here. This is how people are being red-pilled. We can't have this group, whatever we are, continue to hide in the shadows. And I don't say we're hiding in the shadows, but we are at the cutting edge of what's going on in Christianity and the culture and society. We're at the cutting edge discussing these things. Are you bringing anybody else into the fold?
It's our duty to share it, Coach. It's our duty to share it. It's not something God just asks us to do. Once you get knowledge, it's your duty to pass it on. That's the point of you getting it, not to hold it.
That's right. And Mark, numbers matter, right? I look at some of the things we're dealing with, going down to Richmond and all that. Golly, guys, we ought to be just, our numbers should be bigger than they are right now. Numbers matter. Numbers matter. And if we get numbers and we gather numbers and we come up with strategies of showing up boots on the ground, letter writing and phone calls and school board meetings, and if we begin to understand how this thing works, we can begin to infiltrate within this the same way the other guys did it. We need to re-infiltrate. Why is this crap going on at your schools? Because there's nobody at your local school board fighting it. Why is it going on in your JR? I read an email JR sent to us today about the training of the homosexual agenda all throughout the county in which he lives. And he's the only guy there fighting it. Why? Why is he the only guy there fighting it? Who's he networked with? Who's four guys he could say, let's go, we have to go to this meeting. And four guys come and infiltrate and upset the apple cart of the plans of the enemy. Why are we not getting more actively? I don't know. Anybody have an idea? What do we do, folks? We're sitting on a time bomb here.
Let's burn some flags, some rainbow flags.
Whatever it might be, these things that are going on. See, rather than us, me as bad as anybody, sitting back and complaining about what the church isn't doing, what am I doing? Just because the church isn't doing it doesn't mean I can't or I shouldn't. What are you doing right with you are where you are? Who is your network? Has it ever dawned on you that God has called you to be a leader in that area where you are? Have you stepped outside your comfort zone? Have you shared videos? Have you gathered with men? Have you called a meeting with four guys and get them in there and watch a segment of a video? Are we actively doing that? Because listen, otherwise, I'm no different than Rush Limbaugh. We're no different than Rush Limbaugh. We have to mobilize. We have to train, equip, and
Amen,
mobilize.
Coach. Amen.
It's not an active application of what we need to be doing. We cannot do it because the church isn't. And that's kind of been our approach. So, well, our team's no good. Yeah, our team's no good. Well, we got a game tomorrow. I got to find some guys. Listen, I'm not kicking you in the teeth. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. We ought to be more powerful already than we are. Somebody help me wrap this up.
Well, Coach,
did you hear about the drag queen story hour? They got shut down by some Proud Boys.
Well, that's all it has to happen. Go ahead, Jeff. That's it.
Do we have time for Robert's devotional today?
Oh, man. Yes. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry. Thanks, Larry. Got my mouth rolling here. Where are we at? Hold in there, Robert.
It's all right. I think maybe the answer, you know, if we just become real Christians who know what they're supposed to do and then do it, I think we'll see a change. That's what this is all about. Here's a quote from Michael Brown. I have said for many years that what the world calls fanaticism and what much of the church calls extremism, God calls normal. Michael Brown.
Yep.
Normal Christianity is supernatural. The time will come when sanctified believers and mighty followers of the Lord will lay aside religious trinkets and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greatest treasure. They will love God with their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Therefore, they will enjoy the abundant life to the fullest, even in the midst of tribulation. They will die to self and to sin and thus walk in newness of life with Him. They will not allow their minds to be corrupted by invading and novel religious slogans.
Amen.
Seeking religious anointings, mantles, and tokens. Instead, they will renew their minds with truth, be set free, and invest the kingdom of God in word and in power, exposing the evil deeds of the kingdom of darkness. This is activism you're talking about.
Yep.
They will engage the true enemies of the cross rather than be entertained by them. In other words, they'll show up at drag queens and schools and wherever. They will be the faithful remnant who have not bowed their knees to Baal nor opened their minds to deception. They will proclaim the true gospel of the kingdom in demonstration of the spirit and of power, walking in the supernatural works which God has prepared beforehand that we walk therein. Let's call for activism.
normal Christianity is supernatural, right?
That's right.
It is supernatural. The Bible says even more as we see this day approaching. We need to come together. We need to get feel like I'm singing the same old song. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.